أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله الحسين إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم السلام عليكم dear mourners of the son of زهرة Dear mourners of the son of Ali, dear mourners of the grandson of Muhammad, dear mourners of Imam Hussein, dear sons and daughters of the Husseini revolution. We are here commemorating the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in an 8-night SOQ Muharram special. Our theme, Imam Hussein's revolution. Let's perfume this global gathering with a recitation of the Holy Quran by our brother Muhammad Sadiq Rahimi from the country of Afghanistan with a loud Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن Yeah. ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا. يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. صدق الله العلي.
JazakAllah khair wa afiya tayyiballah anfasakum. The current and unfortunate COVID situation has unfortunately compelled us this year to go with an online venue for the first 8 nights of our Muharram programs. And now, dear friends, you know that nothing can stop the memory and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Out of our 8-night program, 1 night has already passed, and there are only 7 nights left in our program. So fast, these honorable and beautiful days and nights pass so quickly. We are now going to listen to a recitation of Ziyarat-e-Ashura with a loud Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا خيرة الله وابن خيرته، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور، السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. يا أبا عبد الله، لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام، وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت، ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها، ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم، ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. ولعن الله على زياد وعلى مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة، ولعن الله ابن مرجانة، ولعن الله عمر ابن سعد، ولعن الله شمرا، ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتال. بأبي أنت وأمي لقد عظم مصامي بك، فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة. يا أبا عبد الله، إني أتغرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بمبالاتك وبالبراءة ممن قاتلك ونسب لك الحرب، وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس الظلم والجور عليكم، وأبرأ إلى الله وإلى رسوله ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشيائكم. بريت إلى الله وإليكم منهم، وتغرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بمبالاتكم ومبالات وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحرب، وبالبراءة من أشيائهم وأتباعهم. إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم. فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة، وأن يثبتني عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة. وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله، وأن يرزقني طلب ثاري مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم. وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته، مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد، ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن هذا يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد، اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد ابن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد العابدين. وهذا يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مرهاد بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعن منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالمبالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدأ به أولا ثم العن الثانية والثالثة والرابع. اللهم العن يزيد خامسا والعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمرا وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم. الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود وثبتني قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا نهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.
جزاك الله خير وعافية طيب الله أنفاسكم. Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic, says, Muharram is the month in which justice rose against injustice, and truth stood up against falsehood and proved that in the course of history, truth has always triumphed over falsehood. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli. We now invite our Sheikh Muhammad Hussein from Trinidad and Tobago to address the believers for tonight's SOQ Muharram special with a loud Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al Mustafa Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيتي الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الهداة المهديين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله ما يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم صدق الله العلي العظيم. Condolences once again, my dear brothers and sisters, on this second night of Muharram, the night where Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family, they rose against oppression and tyranny. And we observe these special nights with the mourning and the remembrance of what took place thousands of years ago in the holy land of Karbala. And we try our best, however little it may be, to reform ourselves and try to observe that revolution within ourselves. We were speaking last night about the verse from the Holy Quran in Surah 13, Surah Ra'ad, verse number 11, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the condition of people until they change that within themselves. Now last night, we tried to relate that verse towards the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on a very zahiri and apparent basis, where we laid out some of the reasons for the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. May that be social, political, or whatever apparent reason that Imam Hussein alayhi salam stood against Yazid. Now tonight, we would like to incorporate that verse into the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on an internal level. What do we mean? Imam Hussein alayhi salam stood against oppression, and all of what was going on at the time was apparent for everyone to see. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam had to slaughter something within himself first before he made that bold move. And that was the slaughtering of his nafs. And that's a lesson that we can all learn from the movement of Karbala, it's self-purification, or as they say, tazkiyatun nafs. Now as we begin, I would like to give a brief introduction concerning the revolution that one has to take before he goes through this self-purification. Now, the fitra, or the nature of insan, of man, is to purify themselves. We bathe regularly, we wear clean clothes, we try to smell properly with perfume and stuff like this. Now this is all an apparent and zahiri purification. But the internal purification, that's much difficult to see compared to the outward purification. When we have the spots and the dirty marks on our nafs, how do we see that? And how do we purify that? So tonight, without taking too much of your time, I would like to share with you some practical methods of how we can purify our nafs, or do tazkiyatun nafs, self-purification. Now, the first thing we have to do when purifying or attempting to purify ourselves is to start with the intention. Our niyat is the most important thing. Why are we purifying ourselves? Are we purifying ourselves so that people can look at us and say, this guy has become so humble, he has such good akhlaq? Now this within itself causes something known as riya, or showing off. And that in itself, it can be a trap. You can say that you're doing self-purification, but it's for showing off. So first of all, we have to realize that the intention of this self-purification is what? It's seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first thing. The second thing, because this journey of self-purification is not an easy journey. So what is the motivation that will keep us going towards tazkiyatun nafs or self-purification? Now the motivation is the Jannah or the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. Many times we see in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannatun tajri min tahti al-anharu khalidina fiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising us paradise beneath which rivers flow and all of these nice things. If we can achieve that success of self-purification and go towards the akhirah or the next life. Now, all religions, be it from Christianity to Buddhism, Hinduism, all of the religion, they realize that man must go through this process of tazkiyatun nafs or self-purification. But the methods or the way that it goes about, it differs. One may ask the question, how? For instance, we see in the religion of Buddhism, you see some of the monks, they go into seclusion, they go into caves, they go into the mountains, and they try to achieve this self-purification by abstaining from society and removing themselves from their friends, their family, and their loved ones. Now, what type of self-purification is achieved this way? Yes, you are eating the pure foods. Yes, you are not inclining to your carnal desires, to your anger. Yes, this is a type of tazkiyatun nafs or self-purification, but this is not recommended in the religion of Islam. The Anbiya, the prophets, the Aima, they were all sociable people. They all had wives, they all had children, and they all interacted with the society while they themselves performed the tazkiyatun nafs or the self-purification. So Islam does not recommend that one moves away from society to achieve this tazkiyatun nafs or self-purification. But how do we achieve this self-purification? First, you yourself must identify what it is in your nafs that you are trying to purify. You yourself must know. You have to do a self-check first before you can achieve this tazkiyatun nafs. Now, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 14 of the third chapter of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Zuyya lin-nasi hubbu shahawati minan nisaa wal banina wal qanatiril muqantara. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, beautified for people are things that which they desire. Then he lists these things that they desire. He begins with women, children, wealth. So you yourself have to look into your own nafs and do a sort of internal check and say, okay, what is it that my nafs or my internal desire craves? Is it the love of woman looking at non-mahram? Is it the love of children? Because all of these are tests. Is it wealth? Is it money? And one of the methods or the ways of doing that is look at what the shaitan, he tries to entice you with. What do we mean? Is that the shaitan, Iblis, he's a very proud creature. So he would not come to man with any and everything to distract him from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would come to him with the things that he knows he's going to be weakened and the things that he loves. For instance, if someone has no love or no inclination towards alcohol, towards drinking alcohol, the shaitan is not going to waste his time and say, you know, have a sip of this alcohol, have a drink. No, because the shaitan, he knows that he'll be wasting his time. But if you are someone with the slightest inclination towards, for instance, looking at non-mahram, then the shaitan, he sees this as an opening and he will bombard you with things that will distract your mind or turn your mind towards looking at non-mahram. So when you do that internal check or that self-examination, you say, okay, I'm going to be truthful with myself. I know personally, and you're speaking to yourself, you don't have to tell anyone this, I myself know where my weaknesses are, and I myself, I'm going to try to change this. I'm going to try to slaughter this. And this is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam, batin, the batini message that he was trying to show us. Apart from the zahiri, which was the sacrifice of slaughtering his family, his friends, the batini message was slaughtering the nafs. Okay? Now, I would like to list a few practical methods that we can do to slaughter the nafs. We said the first thing, you have to know and identify what you are weak in, what your nafs desires, the carnal desires. Now, the second thing is your willpower and being resolute in your actions. And this can be done through fasting, through extra prayer and ibadat. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He recommends for us fasting in the holy month of Ramadan. He recommends for us salah or namaz or prayer 5 times a day. Now, this keeps us on a certain level as mu'mineen and mu'minat. But if we want to reach that next level, we want to go to a different grade, we want to, you know, improve ourselves, how do we achieve this? Is it just by doing the basic things that are recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. In order to move on to that next level, you have to practice more fasting, additional fasting, additional prayer and salah, in addition to what is wajib for you. Now that is step number one. Step number two, it's lessening your social interaction. Now what do we mean by this? A lot of time is wasted with your peers by doing a lot of speaking and hanging out that can be totally cut off. You know, and this is also listed in by Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, where he says, try to lessen your speech. Don't be so talkative. Because this is another thing that the shaitan loves. He loves when people are just speaking without any purpose, without any aim. And this is one of the traps of the shaitan. So step number two in self-purification or taskiyah to nafs, it's lessening your social interaction. Now, the third thing in achieving this self-purification, it's, we said we want to try to adhere to our wajibat and stay away from our muharramat. But we can add to this by observing our mustahabbat and staying away from the things that are makruh. Now, the things that are mustahab, they are not wajib, but they are things that are recommending. They are recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do that, we can move to the next level. And the things that are makruh, they are not haram. If we do them, it's not a sin. But these are things that are not recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Now, step number four in achieving this tazkiyah to nafs is that when we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to be sincere in our repentance. We want to have that ikhlas in our repentance. And we want it to come from our heart. And we want to seek that mercy and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one way of achieving this ikhlas in our tawbah, it's by remembering our past sins and the mistakes that we have committed. Now, when we do this, we remember what we have done in the past. It kind of gives us a sort of humility when we are repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we then remember that, okay, I have committed all of these sins in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I'm asking Him for forgiveness. And I'm not sure if He would forgive me. So we should try not to think too much of the good deeds that we have done, but remember more the past mistakes that we have made. And this will bring out that sort of sincerity and ikhlas in our tawbah and our repentance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another practical method we can adhere to in our tazkiyah to nafs, it's sitting with those that are less fortunate than us. Sitting with those that are, you can say, poor or the fuqara or the fakir. And when we say sitting with those that are below us, we don't mean looking down at anyone. No, we mean spending time with those that are below us in terms of wealth and don't have so many benefits that we have. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we do this, we are grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We realize, okay, we may not have that much in our lives, but there's always someone or some people who have less than what I have. And this breaks that notion of envy and greed, because this is another trick that the shaitan plays in our mind and in our hearts. He wants us to look at those who have more than us. He says, look at that guy who's driving that big car, that expensive car, who's living in that expensive house. You don't have that. And then you start to feel that sense of remorse and guilt, and you know, you feel, you know, like you have some sort of regret that I want to achieve all of these material things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, when you sit with those that are less fortunate than you, you realize, okay, I should be so grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, no matter how little it is. And these are some of the practical methods, brothers and sisters, that we can do to slaughter our nafs or practice this thing called tazkiyatun nafs, self-purification. And the last step that I'd like to leave you with is that we must have that tawassul towards the Ahlul Bayt. We must always seek our help through the Ahlul Bayt, because they are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us to guide us and to show us that pure and the true meaning of Islam and the pure meaning of reaching of towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, in a few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the main reason that He has sent His Holy Prophet, it's to purify mankind, to zakihim, wa yuzakihim, which means to purify the people or the qawm or the ones who the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Prophet to. And the A'imma or the Ahlul Bayt, they have carried on this tradition from their grandfather, the Holy Prophet. So tonight being the second night of Muharram, the night where Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family members, they arrive in Karbala. And on their arrival, the army of Yazid, thousands of them are already there. And there's a tribe that lived in Karbala at the time. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he approaches the tribe and he tells them, he said to them that we are here in Karbala, but we have not come to fight, but we will be killed. And we have one request from the side of the men. And he looks at the men of the tribe and he said, when we are killed, our bodies will not be buried. So we are kindly requesting you that you leave some of your work off and you kindly bury us. And then he looked at the woman of the tribe and he said to the woman, he said, maybe your men and your husbands, from the fear of being killed by Yazid's army, they may not perform this act of burying us. So he asked the woman of the tribe of Karbala, he said, when your men and your husbands are out in the field working, can you kindly come out of your houses and bury the bodies of those that are killed in Karbala? Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he looks at the children, because he thought maybe the men and the women of the tribe may not perform this act. And he looks at the children and he says, oh children, while you are playing in the fields of Karbala, can you pick up one handful, one fistful of sand and throw it on the bodies of those that are killed in Karbala? And over time, our bodies will be buried by this sand that you throw on our bodies. Now Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he looked at his family members and he's seeing that they are ready to set up their tent near to the river of the Euphrates. But before they set up their tent, he once again, for a last time, he looks at the people of the tribe of Karbala and he says to them, he says, oh people, after we have been killed, there will be people that are coming to visit our graves and do the ziyarat of myself and of the people that were slain on these blessed plains of Karbala. My last request to you is that you be hospitable and you treat the zuwar of the shuhada of Karbala with hospitality and respect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the people of Najaf and Karbala. For those of you who have done the Arba'in trip, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. For those of you that know how hospitable and all of the services that are being provided by the people of Iraq and the other people that do the khidma to the zuwar of Aba Abdullah. So this was a request by Imam Hussein alayhi salam that they treat the people who are coming to do the ziyarat, treat them with hospitality for 3 days, that you give them food, that you give them water. Now, the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they are preparing to set up their tents near to this river. And the army of Yazid, they come, the commanders, they come and they say, you cannot set up your tent near to the river. Now the brother of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Hazrat Abbas, he sees this and he gets very annoyed and angry and he withdraws his sword and he's ready to fight the army of Yazid for this cruel act that they want to do by not letting the family members of Imam Hussein alayhi salam set up their tents near to the river. Because at that time, Karbala, and even today, it's such a hot place that you cannot survive in Karbala for a few days without water. And Abbas, Hazrat Abbas, he realizes this and he becomes so angered by the army of Yazid. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he looks at his brother and he tells his brother, he says, we have not come here to fight, because the people would think that if we attack them first, that we are the ones who started the war for water. And Hazrat Abbas, being the servant and the abd of his older brother, Imam Hussein, the one who he called master from the time he was a little boy, he obeys this command and he puts back his sword and he says, Labaik Hussein, whatever you order me to do, I will do. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they move away from the river and they set up their tents in a distant place which was very far from the river. Now, as the days go by, Yazid's army, it becomes more and more. So you can imagine, thousands of army men against only 72 members, which was Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions. And as the days goes by, the children and the women, they become more miserable due to the heat. And on the seventh day of Muharram, they totally ran out of water. And as you know, the water was cut off from them. They had no water supply. And these women and these children, they would be crying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, the thirst, water, we need water. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he would always remind them to be patient, remind them of the goal that they came to Karbala to achieve. And Hazrat Abbas, he would hear the cries of Sakina, because Hazrat Abbas, he always tried to fulfill baby Sakina's request. Whatever she wanted, Hazrat Abbas, he would try his best to fulfill that need of baby Sakina. But in these days and in these nights, baby Sakina, she was requesting just one drop of water. And Hazrat Abbas, on this occasion, he could not fulfill the request of baby Sakina. And this broke his heart and made him filled with tears and sadness. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and forgive the sins of our parents. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these blessed nights to help us to remember the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his family members, and his friends. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us achieve this tazkiyatun nafs and this self-purification on your path, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our maraji, to bless the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and all of the other maraji that are the protectors of the revolution and of the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair wa afiyah, tayyiballah anfasakum. We end our humble ceremony tonight with anoha. May Allah bless you all. Fi amanillah.
زدن با من پرم با تو بریه های نیم شب با من حرم با تو آرزوی پر زدن با من پرم با تو گریه های نیم شب با من حرم با تو نفس با من هوا با تو دعا با من شفا با تو نیاز کربلا با من برات کربلا با تو نفس با من هوا با تو دعا با من شفا با تو نیاز کربلا با من برات کربلا با تو به تو خیلی بدهکارم ای جسوکارم به تو خیلی بدهکارم دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم آرزوی پر زدن با من پرم با تو گریه های نیم شب با من پرم با تو نفس با من هوا با تو دعا با من شفا با تو نیاز کربلا با من برات کربلا با تو نیاز کربلا با من برات کربلا با تو نفس با من هوا با تو دعا با من شفا با تو نیاز کربلا با من برات کربلا با تو ای جسوکارم به تو خیلی بدهکارم دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم بی پناه و بی کسم مادر پناهم باش آخرین امید شبهای سیاهم باش منو گریه منو زاری منو روزهای بیاری فقط دل خوش بینم که هوای نوکر رو داری منو گریه منو زاری منو روزهای بیاری فقط دل خوش بینم که هوای نوکر رو داری آه دم آخر به دادم میرسی مادر آه دم آخر به دادم میرسی مادر دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم دوست دارم
یه روز تر نشد چشمی که محرم نیست، روزه تو کمتر از داغه محرم نیست. چی میشه مادرم باشی یه سایه رو سرم باشی، چی میشه که شب جمعه به یادم تو حرم باشی، چی میشه مادرم باشی یه سایه رو سرم باشی، چی میشه که شب جمعه به یادم تو حرم باشی. آه چه محزونی هنوزم روزه میخونی، هنوزم روزه میخونی. غریب آقا، غریب آقا، غریب آقا.